Hi, I'm Diana, and I'm sitting here with managing partner Sandra Ziskind and retired OPP officer and safety ambassador to Diamond and Diamond, Mr. Cam Woolley. Welcome, guys. Today, we're going to be talking about something that has plagued Ontario, or I should say Canada in total, auto theft.
Yes.
And we're going to be talking about the new changes that are occurring on the federal government level. They're proposing some new changes here.
It's so frustrating. Everybody I know is scared that their cars are going to get stolen from. Everyone I know had their cars stolen from their driveway. I had a friend of mine who had their car, same car, stolen three times from their driveway. What's going on?
Costco parking lot, I think she was.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's insane. Nuts.
Well, with the modern vehicles, there's several ways they do it. One sort of famous way is what they call the relay theft. And you see the video of the guy at the front door with a laptop and holding an antenna. And basically what they're doing is they're picking up the very weak signal from the key fob in the house somewhere, usually at the front door in the dish. And then they're relaying it back to the car. So the car thinks the key's in it and they can unlock it and start it and drive away. So people do use those little pouches that you put your key fob in, a Faraday pouch. It blocks the reception of this. And people say, that's great. My car is theft proof. Well, no. There's another thing they can do. It's sort of old school where there's one video online where you see them opening the hood of the Jeep and they're doing something. They're unhooking the horn. So it's not going to beep, beep, beep. But they'll do something to disable the alarm. They can do that several ways. Sometimes just reach under.
They're not doing the wire thing anymore, are they?
No, the hot wire thing. No, the
80s. I love the 80s.
Yeah, well, and so many of those shows, you see them doing it even now on a modern car that it can't
work. It doesn't exist.
Well, then the next method, and of course, the thieves don't show up with one method in their playbook and, oh, they got a Faraday pouch. I'm leaving. I'm going to leave the $150,000 car there. Mm-hmm. They resort to a more common way of doing it, and they basically use the same type of scan tool your mechanic or car dealer would have. So they break into they usually disable the horn.
Sorry, so you're talking about so usually your mechanic plugs in the car to see what's wrong with it. You're saying that's the tool they use?
Yeah, so basically these cars are a computer, and there's a tool, a scan tool, it's generically called to plug in, and it'll say what's wrong.
A diagnostic
tool. And these things start about $40, by the way. Okay. They're not limited in any way. There are some that are maybe more like $100 that will allow you to reprogram a new key fob.
Right.
So they get in the car, they plug into that plug, usually on the dash below the steering wheel, and they can reprogram a new fob and drive your car away.
When did they get so smart? It's crazy.
It gets worse.
True. When did criminals become smart as opposed to when they were stupid? That's a great question, Diana.
No, they
aren't necessarily smart because somebody's telling them to do this. They're often recruiting young people and gangs, and then they say, plug this in, push this, and you go. The next thing they're doing, you see some videos where they're prying away in the plastic front fender and the nose of the car or at the headlight or taillight. That seems silly. But there are modules all over the car. There's about 70 in an average car. So maybe the headlight's a smart headlight, so it knows to dip the high beam, things like that. That all goes through a thing called the control area network, or CAN bus. So basically the brain in the car communicates with all these modules. If it gets a message from any one of them, it thinks it's legit. So all they have to do is plug into any of these. So that's why they're trying to get your headlight or something. They can plug in a computer and then tell the car to unlock and start up.
Yeah.
Now that, and so those are the ways of getting the car without.
Or they're also breaking it and just taking
now,
the keys.
What was the next advice
that we were given, to leave our keys at the front door?
Yeah,
or
that
on
was.
The porch?
There was a context thing. So the idea was, and I feel sorry for it, basically what they were saying is, which is correct, the police don't want people breaking into your house looking for the keys and walking through your house. So you don't want strangers walking through your house. So a car is just a car at the end of the day, and it's not your safety. So leave it at the front door, close to the front door, because if they're going to steal it, they're going to steal it anyways without walking through your house. I think that was the idea.
It was more the question was actually, what do I do with a home invasion? Are they breaking and threaten me with a gun?
Right.
And usual advice is always just give them the keys.
Give them whatever
they want. So somebody said leave it at. I say no, don't. You don't leave your money and your jewelry in a dish at the front door.
Right.
There's so much of TikToks of people like just leaving milk and cookies at their keys at the front door.
There's some other things you can do with that. That's another thing they can do. They can break in and get the key. They can threaten you and get the key, or they can use phony ID and get the key from a dealership. There's insiders too,
right,
with keys. There are a lot of ways to do it.
I heard they're purposely using under 18 kids because those under 18 kids get off with a slap on the wrist because they're not adults.
And they're often arrested multiple times.
Right.
They just keep doing it and they go back. But they're also more likely to use violence. Now, interestingly, in a huge amount of the cases, the front door is not even locked. So
really?
you do see about 35% of the time in a break and enter, front door is not even locked. So get in the habit of locking your front door.
Yeah. Alarm systems for sure.
Yeah, alarm, but
the car alarm's not going to do anything, as we've learned. You could just
But even a home alarm system, people often do. A friend of mine has got an expensive system and she's got kids. She figures either the kids or the maid's going to screw it up. She never sets it.
Right.
So that happens a lot. Or you've got the fancy door and the fancy lock, but most of the house door hardware's got little tiny 3/4-inch screws. So you don't need to be a big person to kick the door in. So I recommend to people, you make sure that your doors are secure and keep them locked. Because these guys, they operate on the element of surprise completely. Yeah. So if they got a bang in the door a bunch of times, that gives you the opportunity to take whatever action you're going to either escape or call 911, go to a safe room or something that we won't talk about here that will eliminate the threat
right,
permanently.
Short of shooting people, most of us won't do that.
Yeah.
That deputy of Florida really put it out there.
Short of us shooting people.
Secure your house.
The idea is secure your house. I think the idea is secure your car and be smart.
Garages if you have them and what have you. But now, so these 16-year-old kids or under 18 kids are taking these cars. So I read, if I'm not mistaken, what they're proposing to do is that this is the punishment, which I don't know if it equals the crime. It's you get your license suspended for 10 years or something.
First time,
The first time offense. And then that's it. You just can't drive. But they're stealing these cars at 3 a.m. Like, what cop is wait.
I think the point is that they're trying to deter them. And some people say, it won't work. But it's a layered thing. The thing is, if this person does get, and they typically get caught again, then it's a really long or permanent suspension. Then every time they pull over, they're going to get charged and end up in jail. So I don't think that's a bad thing.
By the time they actually catch the person or whatever, the car's already on its way to elsewhere.
Sure. But the actual way to stop the car thefts right now, there's a huge demand, mostly offshore.
Yes.
About 75%. Mm-hmm. The fact is they're checking less than 1% of the sea cans or containers. It's garbage.
Right.
And this has been going on for decades. So the federal government acting like it's a revelation and that took a bunch of those fools weeks or months to determine that is asinine.
Right.
But they want to increase the number of scanners. There is technology where you can look without opening the can, they can determine if there's cars in there.
I heard Pierre Poilievre speak about it, and he was saying the same thing. He said there's a very easy way to crack down at the border system with these scanners and with the weight. Because, if you have a container with 50 Honda Civics, it's not the same as something else. And unfortunately, they haven't been doing it at our border system. So a lot of times they just get past
the border. They're not staffed for it. So, and they what they do is they have certain things that make them want to look, and it's less than 1% of the time. And interestingly, people that have put air tags on the cars and said, hello, my car's at the port, they go, we're not looking. Doesn't say exactly where, which I find, again.
That happened to a friend of mine. She's like, she's on the phone with the cops. She's like, I can see my car. It's going down my street. They're like, just don't do anything. And but I don't know.
I think it's disingenuous because police use the same technology to find people and arrest them and recover stuff when it's their idea. But some citizen says, I put an air tag, and they go, that's not enough. BS, it is. But if they stopped, if they checked every can coming in, that would deal with that. Now, what is interesting too is that some of these guys have been caught a few times, and it's getting trickier to ship things.
Right.
So what they'll do is they go back old school. When I was first a cop, what would happen is the cars they would just switch the serial numbers on them.
Right.
And that's still going on. And that's starting to happen again. So they can do it a number of ways. You can go online. The criminals go online and they find a car for sale the same style.
Right.
In another state, preferably somewhere like Texas,
right,
where the computers don't talk to each other.
So right.
That VIN number, uh-huh, go to MTO, and they'll, with some fake paperwork, they'll give them an ownership for it. You can get fake VIN stickers and plates. You can create them easily.
Yes, that happened to a friend of mine. We went parked in the underground, and it was totally completely random, guys. Like, they would hit up different kinds of, be it an Acura or this or that, broke the window, didn't take anything from the vehicle. They just opened up the glove, took up the ownership and insurance, and out they were. And they literally targeted, you would see every
vehicle. You know what they're doing there, though?
What?
It's got your address, they know where you are.
What? I thought they were doing it because they want to do the VIN thing that you said.
No, because then that's already an existing VIN. If you go to MTO and say, I want to, they'll go, no, that belongs to somebody else already. The only way, what they're after is your address.
Oh, good.
Because they know you're at work.
Perfect.
So they'll go to a hotel or airport or something, and oh, there's the address. They know those people.
And they know that person's going to the...
And they know that person's
going to work
nice
every
car.
Day.
Yeah.
So they got some money, so they'll use it to target B&Es, or sometimes they will use the ownership because it's got your date of birth and everything else. So use it to generate
identity theft. I thought that was completely...
But I remember we had caught a guy, arrested a guy at Keelan 401 at the OPP station doing that to the police cars. To the police officers' personal cars, because he figured they would all have.
Sorry,
he,
what?
They figured they'd have guns.
Right.
They were looking for guns.
Okay.
But that actually makes sense, because a lot of police officers have personal guns in their homes.
They might, and people don't understand in Canada that the police gun doesn't go home with you most of the time. There's some strange exceptions, but a typical officer does not.
Right.
But they watch TV and they do their
well, everyone
shit.
Who watched Law & Order SVU is always the biggest expertise and can tell me and you how to do our job. That's usually what I find anyways.
The best thing you can do is a high-quality security system for your car with what they call an immobilizer, which means it'd be like your phone.
Right.
It needs a second authentication to start.
Still, what's going to come of that? Even if I have it, all the protections, they're going to take my car and then the guy...
They won't get it.
They won't get it.
If they hop in and use these boxes I just told you, it will not go.
So what do I need again, Timmy?
An immobilizer. And what it does is it doesn't matter if you have the key for it. It'll power up, won't start. There's basically what it does is it requires a password. Now, some of them... do something like, you have to push the defroster button and the wiper button at the same time for 3 seconds. Okay. They can program it to do whatever you want.
Okay. By the way, that's very common in Europe. I've seen that.
It's mandatory in Europe.
Way, way more common in Europe, where you have to put a passcode in before the car, even starts.
It's mandatory in EU countries.
And that's not something one of those $40 machines can figure out.
No.
There you got it.
If it's done well... Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. And then, of course, these guys have, if you have a decent quality alarm system too, if it starts doing something, if you're just going through the factory horn, they're going to shut that off. But decent security system, with the tag sort of thing, the GPS, but the immobilizer works.
How much is an immobilizer for everyone that's listening right now?
It depends on what features you want, but it's going to be, your insurance company may pay for part of it, and they may offer you a discount. I know I was just talking to a good friend that has a Dodge pickup, a brand new one that's highly
His
insurance company paid for tag, and they're Quebec-based company. They're very good, and they put... GPS tags all over the car. They're hidden in multiple places. Because what often happens, the guys will steal it and they'll put it somewhere. They'll just take
park
it to the parking and see if the cops pick it up.
Cam just solved the auto theft issue in...
Well, I always said Cam for prime minister, but he won't listen to me.
He won't do it.
He won't listen to me.
Well, there you have it, everyone. We just discussed all the ways in which your vehicle can be taken and ways to protect your vehicle. If I do say so myself, I'm going to go get myself an immobilizer. I like the idea of that. And for a potential low cost, and maybe your insurance will help you cover it, it's a great option, Cam. I feel like you solved the auto theft issue. Never mind the 14 years or 10 years suspension. I'd rather that.
Well, anyway, we can have both.
I don't know if my wrap-up was good enough here, but I just want to say.
There's a funny in our new Escalade. If they plug into that, it'll fry their tool.
Really?
Yeah, I want that too.
Destroy it. It's fake. I put an extra, I took the real plug, hit it, and put a dummy one where the real one was supposed to be and reverse the power on it. So it goes, hey, why does this smell funny and it doesn't work? Oh. You can make it so it'll light up so they think, but it won't give them data.
Oh, wow.
Or you can, like I did mine so it'll just wreck it because I'm the only one that touches it.
Cool.
Can for Prime Minister. Solving all the issues across the board. Thank you guys. Thanks for coming.